acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 107, Inner Fleece. Friday, January 22nd, 2016. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Each week, I put up a blog post with photographs and links to the things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. This week's episode includes the following segments: On the Porch, Ever-Expanding Skill Set, Gratitude Journal, and so forth. Happy Friday, everyone. I am breaking out of my normal Sunday morning recording because we are expecting some snowfall here in the Poconos, and I'm not sure how easy it will be for me to get to the studio on Sunday morning. So I wanted to record a podcast and give you a bit of a glimpse of what I've been up to over the last few weeks and share some recipe ideas with you as well. On the Porch is Flaum, a cardigan by Justina Lorakowska. This is quite a challenging sweater. I am enjoying the knitting very much, but it has been slow going because the entire piece is knit in 1x1 rib and fisherman's rib. I'm using a beautiful 70% merino, 30% alpaca blend. It's a worsted weight yarn in a beautiful deep red color called Red Velvet. I believe the yarn brand is Misty Alpaca Maki. I'm using US size 7 needles for this project, and I am knitting the small size, although I wish I had gone down to the smallest size of this pattern because it seems a little bit roomy. And I am almost finished. I am now knitting one of the sleeves, and I have one sleeve to go. One of the challenges I faced in knitting the pockets, I followed the directions and put stitches on a stitch holder for the pockets of this pattern and then kept knitting down to near the hemline. And then there are directions to pick up stitches and knit the pocket, which I was planning to do in a lighter weight yarn so that the pocket area would not be bulky. And when I went to do that, I just found that there was some real distortion at either end of where I had put stitches on hold and then cast on additional stitches for the pocket opening. I tried knitting the pocket. I tried evening out the stitches, pulling on the slack a little bit and seeing if I could tighten up that area. And it just looked very sloppy and messy. So I pulled out about a third of the sweater and just re-knit it without the pocket openings. And that was very difficult because it was several days of knitting that I had to rip out. But my friend Mary Beth, whose Flaum sweater is the inspiration for my sweater, said that maybe that was the best idea after all because the pockets on this sweater are not really functional. I plan to wear this sweater with a dress that I make, and I will be putting pockets in the dress, most likely. And it just seems to me that because of the sleekness of this rib, any interruption, any sloppiness near a pocket opening will be incredibly noticeable. because of the lines of this sweater. So in the end, I am glad that I re-knit the bottom portion of the sweater. I really enjoyed the process of learning the tubular bind off. It's a sewn bind off. It took several hours to complete, but the result is just so polished and gorgeous. I will definitely be using this technique on other garments and accessories. It's a great companion, of course, to the tubular cast on. And I would also like to learn how to do this tubular bind off in a 2x2 rib in addition to the 1x1 rib, because I can see finishing cowls and other things that end in 2x2 rib with this bind off. It's really beautiful. It's so worth learning. It becomes rhythmic and meditative after, I would say after about 15 minutes, you really pick up on the rhythm of the stitches and you don't need to refer to a tutorial and you just keep going until the entire thing is bound off. I linked to the tutorial I like very much in the project notes on Ravelry for this Flaum cardigan. And the one I like is from Stacy Perry of Very Pink Knits. I like her tutorials because she is very clear. The picture is clear and it doesn't bother me that I need to play this over and over and listen to her over and over again. And sometimes with tutorials, it's okay to listen to it once, but if you need to listen to it and watch it 3 or 4 times, the instructor becomes sort of irritating, and Stacy Perry does not. She's imminently clear, and I really resort to her tutorials. If I can't find one by her, I'm always disappointed. Once again, that pattern I was talking about is Flaum, F-L-A-U-M, a design by Justina Lorkowska. It appears in the fall 2015 issue of Amirisu. I am knitting it on US size 7 needles in a 70-30 merino alpaca blend. Ever expanding skill set. This year for hashtag Power Pantry, I will be selecting an ingredient each month and trying to cook with and improvise with and find new recipes for that ingredient. I invite you to cook along with me or choose an ingredient of your own if you would like. This month, I've been cooking with potatoes, and potatoes are something that I've never felt a particular affinity for. I have, you know, sort of take them or leave them is the way I feel about potatoes. I know some people get really excited about mashed potatoes. I tend to favor much more flavorful foods. So it's really been an exertion for me to try new things with potatoes, and it's been a lot of fun to search for recipes and try some new techniques. The star this month, hands down, has been a recipe for a casserole, and this recipe came from the Shelter issue of Taproot magazine. There's a bit of a segment, an article rather, about casseroles and their warming, comforting properties. And the first recipe is for a potato, kale, and sausage casserole. Samuel and I made this dish together. We did improvise a little bit on the recipe because it makes a very large portion. This would be great for a family dinner, taking to a potluck, or maybe making a big quantity and then freezing it in smaller portions. We just wanted enough for dinner and then maybe to have a little bit of leftovers for the week. So we reduced the ingredient proportions significantly. And we also reduced the amount of fat. There's quite a bit of whole milk, cheese. It is definitely not a light dish. So we lightened it up a little bit by using chicken stock and reducing the amount of milk and certainly reducing the amount of cheese. I think there's an excellent cheesy taste, even if you don't use the amount of cheese that's specified. This came together in just a luxurious, rich, delicious one dish meal. It was so good. It was even better the next day with a glass of red wine. It's super fabulous winter fare. So I highly recommend, number one, subscription to Taproot Magazine. That recipe alone was worth the price of admission. And number two, if you are a subscriber, definitely check out the recipes. There's another one for a shrimp and grits casserole. That also sounds very interesting. This weekend, I hope to make some potato gnocchi and maybe even do some bread baking. I have some potato starch, and I'm not sure about adding that or substituting that for a bit of the flour in a regular bread recipe. So I haven't made any decisions about that, but it's some experimentation that I hope to do on this very snowy weekend. Around this time last year, when it was very snowy and stormy, I started to play the hashtag Power Pantry game. And the objective of that game is that when there's a snowstorm on its way and everyone is making their frantic way to the grocery store, the parking lot is a nightmare, everything is such a panic, that you just forego all of that craziness, you don't shop before the storm, and instead you use that as an opportunity to explore the items in your pantry and maybe get a little more creative and more innovative than you would if you had just purchased your regular provisions at the store. So that's what I have done in preparation for this storm, and I am looking forward to a very creative and cozy weekend cooking at home. Gratitude Journal. This year, my focus word is balance. And as one of the ways I would like to work toward greater balance in my life, I have renewed my practice of spinning meditation. I try to have a session at least once a day. I have spinning at home, and I also have travel spinning in my handbag. I installed a meditation app, a very simple meditation app on my phone. I have 10, 15, and 20-minute sessions pre-programmed. And when I have the opportunity, I try to work on one of these projects. In my handbag is a small tin box with a Cuchulu spindle from Jenkins Spindles. It's a Turkish spindle. The one I'm using now is a pink ivory spindle. It's 10 grams, I believe. Spins beautifully. And my primary fiber for that is an assorted box of different blends and different colors from Countess Ablaze. That's a lot of fun. And I hope to spin and ply that perhaps over the course of the year and then knit a project with all of that assorted yarn. At home, the project I'm currently working on is a braid that I won as a prize. I think it was in a Jenkins spin along contest of some sort. It is a wool silk blend from Miss Babs in the Bookworm colorway. It's very muted gray, ivory, a little bit of yellow, almost like an old book. And you know how the paper is sort of stained and you have the ink and you have that old book smell? That's sort of the aura that I imagine with this braid. So very slowly, because this is a slow process, I am working on setting an affirmation and spending some time using the Turkish spindle, spinning very slowly and intentionally, thinking about my breathing, trying my best to gently push the chatter from my mind. And it is having a calming effect. And I am finding that I look forward to that part of my day rather than think, oh, I made this commitment to do spinning. Now I have to figure out how to fit it in. It's actually something I'm longing to do, and I'm looking for opportunities during the day to fit in a bit of spindling. This has helped me with my focus of balance. And today in particular, I had two lovely experiences with students. And I feel like working on balance has brought me to the place where these interactions with students are more enjoyable and more successful. I was invited at the very last minute to work with some very special students in one of our school programs on using a loose set. So we had very brightly colored yarn, and I had a loose set for each one of them. And there were aides in the room, classroom aides, who were also assisting with this process. And we all learned how to use a loose set, and we made enough cordage to make a small bracelet. And the smiles on the faces of these students and the feeling, you know, at first there was a lot of frustration and tension, and there were fine motor skills for these students that were really very difficult. But as we progressed in working with the tools and working with the yarn, we were talking about how the colors were changing. I could feel how their breathing patterns changed, their posture changed a little bit. They became more relaxed. And as soon as they did that, they started being more successful, and the rhythm of making that cordage started to become more consistent. So it was really a beautiful thing. I am sharing a photo of their finished projects in the show notes this week. And then the second thing was the way the day ended today, I met with some of the creative writing students, and we began with a sharing of just recent writing that they had been doing, which was very powerful. And of course, they were all reading it from their phones, and we weren't critiquing it or anything. It was just a celebration of what they had been creating. And then I shared a poem with them that I had selected because of the impending snow. And just, I think it just reflects the way I have been thinking lately. So this evening, I thought I would share that poem with you as well. It's called Shoveling Snow with Buddha, a poem by Billy Collins. In the usual iconography of the temple or the local walk, you would never see him doing such a thing, tossing the dry snow over a mountain of his bare, round shoulder, his hair tied in a knot, a model of concentration. Sitting is more his speed, if that is the word for what he does or does not do. Even the season is wrong for him. In all his manifestations, is it not warm or slightly humid? Is this not implied by his serene expression, that smile so wide it wraps itself around the waist of the universe? But here we are, working our way down the driveway, one shovelful at a time. We toss the light powder into the clear air. We feel the cold mist on our faces. And with every heave, we disappear and become lost to each other in these sudden clouds of our own making, these fountain bursts of snow. This is so much better than a sermon in church, I say out loud. But Buddha keeps on shoveling. This is the true religion, the religion of snow and sunlight and winter geese barking in the sky, I say. But he is too busy to hear me. He has thrown himself into shoveling snow as if it were the purpose of existence, as if the sign of a perfect life were a clear driveway you could back the car down easily and drive off into the vanities of the world with a broken heater fan and a song on the radio. All morning long, we work side by side, me with my commentary, and he inside his generous pocket of silence, until the hour is nearly noon and the snow is piled high all around us. Then I hear him speak. After this, he asks, can we go inside and play cards? Certainly, I reply, and I will heat some milk and bring cups of hot chocolate to the table while you shuffle the deck. And our boots stand dripping by the door. Ah, says the Buddha, lifting his eyes and leaning for a moment on his shovel before he drives the thin blade again deep into the glittering white snow. And so forth. This being year two of my plan for a mostly handmade wardrobe in 5 years, I have determined to focus more on making pieces that coordinate and work together rather than a hit and miss approach that I've been using over the first year. And I don't feel badly about that. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I've certainly encountered some dynamite sewing patterns and developed a bit of a skill set. But in thinking about how to work more with coordinates, I started thinking about maybe several pieces and different kinds of pieces from the same designer. So I have ordered and I have received Lotta Jansdotter's Everyday Style. It's a style book with excellent photographs and then a series of patterns for dresses, skirts, pants, tops, and also quite a few handbags and also accessory ideas. I just received it in the mail this afternoon and I've only been able to have a cursory glance at it. I was hoping that I would also receive some fabric I ordered in the mail as well so that I could do some sewing this weekend, but the fabric did not arrive. So I might experiment with a few smaller pieces. I do have some fabric on hand, but I don't have any garment size pieces of fabric. So I'll have to think about how to use the book and maybe just work on some things, or I could also use some time this weekend to cut out the patterns. So my practice is with these printed patterns, and in the case of this book, I believe there are two very large double-sided sheets, And what you need to do is identify the pieces you'd like to make and the size, and then trace them onto something else so that you are, in essence, creating your own patterns. You can't cut those out because the pattern shapes overlap one another. And I really don't like to cut out pattern pieces anyway, because I'm never sure about the size that I want to make. Or maybe I'd like to make this garment later for someone else who's a different size. And if I've cut that out, it might not work. I also like to share patterns with my sisters. And so leaving them in one piece, I think, makes them more user-friendly and you can get more mileage out of your purchase pattern. So I could use what do I use? I use a very thin, non-fusible interfacing. And that makes a nice, sturdy pattern piece. It's easy to see through that fabric to the lines on the paper. So you can find all of the markings you need and transfer them. It's easy to cut out. It doesn't stretch. And then it folds very nicely into folders or envelopes so that you can keep it for later use. So maybe what I'll do is decide on a piece or two that I would like to make and cut out the pattern pieces, read through the pattern directions, and familiarize myself with those so that when I do receive the fabric next week, I can start working on a garment. I believe I will be trying a tunic or maybe a skirt to coordinate with this flaum cardigan that I've been knitting. And then I can start thinking about what pieces I would like to sew during the month of February, and then what I might choose as a knitting project or maybe a crochet project to go along with that. So that I'm thinking in terms of at least a few pieces that go together and maybe over the course of a year working with a single designer's patterns, there will be a more unified look and theme to the pieces that I make. During the month of February, I also plan to devote some time, perhaps some time each day, to an embroidery project. I have sewn a bag, which is the Multitasker Tote, a design by Anna Maria Horner. And I left this project unfinished on the inside so that I could do some embroidery work on the front of the bag. And that has been sitting that way for well over a month. I do have an idea for the design I would like to transfer. And of course, I have plenty of embroidery supplies. So that is also a goal for myself during the month of February. And I've been doing some thinking also about which ingredient to work with for hashtag Power Pantry in the month of February. And I have decided that jam and jelly will be my ingredient of choice for that month. I think it's a great way to bring some fruit flavor and some warm, summery tastes and aromas into the very cold winter. I have a great selection of homemade jams and jellies from family members, and I would like to move beyond spreading jam on toast or bread to truly using it as an ingredient in not just sweet, but maybe some savory dishes as well. So if you care to, you can think about how to cook along with me during the month of February. After I finish recording this podcast and put it out for everyone to enjoy, I will be taking the rest of this weekend as a digital detox. If you haven't tried a digital detox, maybe you will consider doing that. It could be for an evening, for an afternoon, for a day, for an entire weekend or week. But I think that we all benefit from taking a break from social media and from screen time and spending time concentrating on other things.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page, joining the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry, or leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a